are you? It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland, 503-733-2. 970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop will join us. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune will be here. And another installment of Rick Emerson's Enemy of the State. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. All right, so we got to thank our intern, Scotty J, for taking care of this. We're going to welcome to the Rick Emerson Show in just a moment. We had Don Rickles, who was in town. He was at the Chinook Winds last Saturday. And we all went up to see him. And as we were on our way from Portland to Lincoln City, I was going up with our good friend Clyde Lewis. Clyde and I are driving up the car. And we're passing the town of Otis, 1 mile. And then, it's like Burma shape signs. And then you are now entering Otis. And then I swear to God, after you pass the sign that said you are now entering Otis, the next sign was, like a town of Otis for sale, please to call, and then it had like the phone number, which is not really a thing you see all that often. We wanted to bring on to the Rick Emerson Show. Let me make sure that I've got this up here. I want to make sure that I've got this right, from Windermere, Cronin, and Kaplan Realty Group. Did I get that right, Jason?
Yeah, that's right.
Jason, is it McElrath?
Jason McElrath, exactly.
McElrath. How are you today, Jason?
Good, I'm doing all right, thanks.
Thank you for coming up. First of all, I have to ask, do you just get bombarded by hack DJs who want to have you on to make jokes about Otis?
Not by DJs, but I do get some pretty interesting people asking me about Otis. So
do you get a lot of guys like on Friday nights, do you get a lot of giggling 15-year-old boys who call up like, my name is Seymour Butts and I'd like to buy Otis?
Not too many teenage jokes, but I did recently deal with a group that wanted me to see if my client would donate Otis, which my client kind of laughed at.
Now, when you say your client, is there like a guy who owns Otis now?
Yeah, there is actually a gal, and she lives back east, and she inherited it from her grandfather, who inherited it from his grandfather.
Now, this is a dumb question. If you follow this lineage back far enough, was there somebody named Otis who founded the town?
You know, I'm not sure where the name came from, but no, their name isn't anywhere near Otis, or it doesn't have anything to do with the name of the town, no. So.
Now, I did not think... It's not like I'm offended by it or anything, but in America, I did not think you could own a town. I thought that was...
Well, it's an unincorporated town, so it means that there isn't really a town government. You know, it falls under the county, so it's governed by the county, basically. It's an area in the county that's commonly known as Otis.
All right. And so is it just that if you own a town, are you responsible for all the sewage and the electricity? And is it like a landlord, basically, where they're calling you all the time, like, I got my rain gutters are clogged.
You're going to have to... Yeah, the owner of my client, she does have owns all the property in that area. So there's all the commercial buildings and all that kind of stuff. So she does have to pay for quite a bit of upkeep on those buildings and in the areas around there. You know, the roads and stuff, those are maintained by the county. But, if there's something that goes wrong with one of the tenants, then, she has to take care of it. And it gets to be kind of expensive.
Is there a mayor of Otis?
No. Like I said, it is unincorporated, so there isn't really a governing body. That would have to be, developed by, hopefully a buyer or somebody who gets the town.
So it's just anarchy there. It's just it's a lawless wild west, Jason,
it is the wild west.
Anything goes there. It is a land without rules.
Right.
And so we're talking with Jason McElrath, who's and you are, did they just call you out of the blue and go, look, how do you feel about selling a town?
Yeah. I actually got the listing from a friend of mine, Pam Seekins. She is friends with the owners, and she's licensed in Washington, and I'm licensed in Oregon, and Otis is in Oregon. So we worked together on quite a few different projects, and so we decided to go ahead and work on this one together.
Here's a crazy question. Let me ask you. Well, first of all, is there a fixed price? Is there a fixed dollar amount that like I could write a check for today?
Sure.
And buy Otis?
Yeah. I think that the dollar amount that would make my client happy is $2.4 million.
Do you have an installment plan of some kind?
I think you might have to come up with your own financing.
I could trade in my car, perhaps.
You know, a trade, if you had some other property somewhere else in the world, she'd probably consider that.
I got Southeast Portland. Nobody's doing anything with that.
It might not go
Might have
far.
To clear out some riffraff.
Yeah.
If somebody were to just throw down $2.4 million and buy Otis, Oregon. Okay, and I have to admit that this is a little. Plays to all of my Scrooge McDuck esque fantasies. I'm like kind of like Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Could I just buy the town and make everybody leave? Could I just pave over everyone's houses?
Yeah, as long as you own the part where their house belongs. There's some other areas of Otis that you are not included in the sale, but every bit of the land that you own, yeah.
I mean, not that I would do that, but I'm just saying theoretically. I mean,
yeah.
if I could just make others live in fear of me,
right.
if I could just make others have to genuflect when I walked by, that would be I'd be happy about that.
Yep.
So do you get offers? Do you have people that call up and they try to haggle you or barter down to, you know, look, I'll give you a 1-9 and some stamps or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I'm dealing with people pretty regularly, a few times a week. People are interested and wanting to know more about it, and hopefully I haven't gotten an offer yet, but you know,
maybe we can raise. I'll see if the audience. We can raise some money or something.
Perfect.
Put something together. Because you. I mean, this is now. I will tell you. We have. I will tell you this. Studies traditionally show that the talk radio audience is both better educated, more intelligent, and they have a higher income traditionally than listeners to any other radio format. That is not just my show. That is talk radio as a whole. But you're talking down to this audience, and there is a lot of people in this audience who have quite a bit of. They have quite a bit of accrued wealth. They represent business interests. They are the heads of businesses. They work in the very economic centric industries. This is your chance to make a big pitch for the town of Otis, Oregon. What if you buy Otis, Oregon? Why should people buy Otis, Oregon? What is so fantastic about it?
Boy, it's 20 minutes from the coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful grassland, and there's the river, the Salmon River goes right through there.
Mm-hmm.
You could do a lot with recreation wise in the Salmon River.
And there's a cafe, we understand.
Cafe,
there's a
ranch. There's a post office, there's a couple of houses, there's an arena, 24 stable horse facility. A couple other commercial buildings.
And it's right near it. So you've got the casinos there. There's the
casinos.
Whale watching.
Yep, yep.
When you say an arena, what kind of an arena is there?
It's like a horse arena. It's a covered arena for, horse, whatever horse people do with arenas.
I don't know either. and so if somebody were to buy Otis, Oregon,
mm-hmm.
We're talking to Jason McElrath here from Windermere. I want to make sure that I get the name of this right. But we're talking to Jason McElrath from the full name is Windermere Cronin and Kaplan Realty Group.
Correct.
If somebody were to buy Otis, Oregon, could I buy it and just call it like Rick, Oregon? Could I rename it?
You know, I think that there probably is some sort of flexibility with the name there, but you'd have to go through the county to see
sure.
to see what you could do. But that would be perfect. You name it whatever you want. And
I'm glad you agree. I think you and I can do business.
Yeah,
Jason, I'll talk to some people. I'll sell my CD collection. We'll see what I can do here.
Yeah, broadcast your show out of your own hometown.
See, there you go. That's what I'm saying. I think we can put something together.
It could be the new Radio City.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
My question to you, while you're here, should I even bother giving out your contact information, or would you like to steer clear of any other calls about this?
Well, no. I mean, I'd love to provide as much information as I can to anybody who's interested. So,
if you have a general maybe office number.
Yeah, exactly. 503-233-7777.
All right. Jason McElrath from Windermere Cronin and Kaplan Realty Group. They are representing for sale the town of Otis, Oregon. What is the population of that, by the way?
The population for the area that my client has for sale is 2.
Really?
But, Otis is pretty big. I mean, there's some other areas that aren't for sale. So I think there's, I don't know, I'm going to guess 100?
This is the best thing I've ever heard. Seriously. All right. Thank you so much, Jason.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And we thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day.
No problem.
All right. There you go. Jason and McElrath, ladies and gentlemen, from Windermere Cronin and Kaplan Realty Group. Scotty, if you could just talk to him real quick, thank him again. Thank you so much. There you go. Come on. How great is that?
That is great.
Come on.
You are great.
That is... Oh, hail me.
You are great.
Where is your God now? That is the best thing I've ever heard. Yeah, the first thing I would do is to buy it and then just pave over everyone's homes and then make everyone pay me to move back in. And then I would erect a large golden statue of myself in the town square, and all would kneel before it.
I don't think there's a town square.
You could build one, though.
I would create a town square, and then a large golden statue of myself. That would be your new god.
With your army of two.
Yes, my. Why you got to bust on a brother's dreams?
You go to Home Depot and buy a gazebo.
I'm trying to get on a roll here. Why you got to be putting a stick in the spokes, sister?
Well. There's two people in the city that you're going to be owning.
Leave me my dreams!
I'm just trying to be realistic.
I think I read that story of Nebuchadnezzar too many times in the Bible. I just, you know, just a statue of myself and then a large fiery furnace into which to throw non-believers.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Has Rick Emerson gone too far to find out tonight? All right, we got these phone calls here. Oh, should I be taking this? All right, okay, let's talk to Steve. Steve, where are you calling from, sir?
Steve?
Steve, hi there. Where are you calling from, sir?
Yeah, this is Steve. I'm calling from Portland.
All right, so I can't say Steve in the beef. What's up? What do you got?
No, you can't, sir.
All right.
I was thinking we could at least get a down payment, get all your fans together, throw in some money. You could call it Emersonia. It's a little more of an egalitarian approach, but
I like
maybe
it.
Jen Lane could open up a rehab out there.
Bar next to a rehab. If I could get like, if I could get like $5, how many people? Kristen? Did you go to college? Well, you went to broadcasting school. That doesn't count.
Big cake parties.
No one knows. What is 2.4 million divided?
Sorry.
I had to bleep that. All right.
Sorry.
All right, that's okay. All right. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you, sir. All right. You're not allowed into Emersonia. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right, so that's fantastic. All right, I'm going to do something. I'm going to find a way. Doesn't matter. Do you see that? The problem is they had somebody. Scotty's telling me to get a loan. They had somebody ask to give it away. But you can't do that. That's not the way you do it. I was like, can you donate the town? You give them a little something. A little something, something. It's not something for another. A little quid pro quo. It's a capitalist society we live in. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We'll take a break here.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Let's look at the matrix, shall we? Here's our programming matrix for the rest of today. Are you listening, the radio consultant? All right, our programming matrix for the rest of today. I want to play that whole Weird Al song. So we haven't played that whole new Weird Al yet single. Jim Roop from CNN. We've got the top five. We're going to talk to somebody. Is it somebody at the Otis Cafe, Scotty? The owner. Okay, the owner from the Otis Cafe. We've got another pair of tickets to Curtis Salgado, the concert for Curtis, for which we will be doing the mystery sound, by the way. God damn it. We're going to keep using it until somebody guesses it. And let's see what else. And we've got Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. So I'll tell you what. Let's not break quite yet, Kristen. I'll tell you what. Let me find this here. Let me find the Weird Al song. And I think we will actually just play this Weird Al song into the break. You want to do that? Of course you do.
That's acceptable.
All right. Let's see. Where the hell have I put it? It's, here, we're pulling back the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching radio as it happens. All right. Is my computer up there?
Yes.
All right. So this will be our bump. So we'll just play this, and then when it ends, just hit the liner right in the spot. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, okay, we're going to come back after this. We got CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop coming up. Enemy of the People, top five. Later on, talking to the owner of the Otis Cafe. In the meantime, in between time, here is the new single from your pal and mine, one of the greatest artists of this and any other time, Weird Al Yankovic. Here's his new single right here on the Rick Emerson Show. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. You stay right there.
Life is brilliant.
What? Was I too early? Oh, sorry. Should I? Do you want to start over or keep going? Okay. Now?
My life is brilliant. Your life's a joke. You're just pathetic. You're always broke. Your home, it's our Trek uniform. Really ain't impressing me. You're suffering from delusions of adequacy. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. You're pitiful. you couldn't inflate. And you smell repulsive too. What a bummer being you. Well, you just can't dance and forget romance. Everybody you know still calls you party pants, but you always have a job. You'll never grow a clue. Well, it just sucks to be you.
Rick Emerson Show, back after this. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show live. This is the best idea I've ever had in my life. It's 503-733-2970 and so forth. It's 503-733-2970. Please do not call.
Do not call about the microphone hum. There is no microphone hum. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is happiness. War is peace.
It's 503.
That is all.
It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making a party listening day. You can also email it if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Just a moment, or is this in a skosh, as our Japanese friends would say, when they're not busy creating tentacle pornography. We will get to a thank you. We'll get to our good friend Jim Roop, CNN radio correspondent to the stars. What else? We got the top five coming up. Top five most embarrassing songs from the 60s. We got a pair of tickets to the concert for Curtis Salgado, featuring Robert Cray, Steve Miller, members of Everclear, whatever passes for Everclear now. We'll get to that later on. And Rick Emerson's Enemy of the People. Rick, this email says, you totally need to start your own Ragnet. Oh, he means the Bhagwan. The Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. That's a thing. Kristen, you were probably too young to remember that.
And I read about it.
I didn't know where Oregon was back then.
Yeah, and Tim wasn't here. I remember that, man. There's a guy who had like 40 wives and 80 Rolls Royces. Best life ever.
Didn't they poison like the entire city? Or
they poisoned in the Dalles. They spread salmonella on the salad bar at some restaurant. I don't remember the restaurant. Don't call and say it. Let them live their lives. He says, you can have 20 wives and 30 Rolls Royces, and then when the Attorney General threatens to blast you out of the compound with for blaring Kiss and Ramones songs, you can laugh hysterically and throw copies of Bigger Than Jesus out the window at them. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Rick, I want to buy Otis, says Andy. I will change the name to Andyland or Andyville or Endopolis or something else just as dumb. The town will have one gas station, two hotels, 27 strip bars, and a free clinic. Also the obligatory 7-Eleven. That is all. How about this? From Meadow. Rick, I will pitch in $50. I want in on the ground floor of Rick, Oregon. Or perhaps Tim Riley, Oregon, or Rileyville, or something like that. One more. Subject line, Rick Dude, I do believe we have the location of the next Rick Emerson listener party. Then we start pitching the sale to your drunken listeners. I would be down with that, totally and completely. Marty in St. Well, he's in St. John's. Everywhere's a step up for him. All right, so there you go. It's Gene. What really sells it to me is the town square, though. And then every day at 2 p.m., everyone who's in Otis, or as it is known then, Emersonia, will have to bow down and genuflect and kneel in the direction of wherever it is I am. And there'll be some sort of... Like it. Wait. Do I have... Where's my bullhorn?
It was on. I heard it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would say.
Welcome to the glorious workers' paradise of Emersonia and stuff. This is a failed bit. I had all this funny stuff I was going to say through the bullhorn. I have nothing. Ending this now.
There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2. I'm sorry. Did I catch you in the crossfire there? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
I'd like to hear the hum again.
Live from Los Angeles.
Let's welcome now to the thank you. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, Jim?
Woohoo!
Okay.
I remember the Bagwan.
Yeah, the Bagwan Sri Rajneesh. Those were the days.
Absolutely.
No, that guy, it was like him and a whole bunch of idiot women who'd shacked up with him and all of their weird kids and then like 80 Rolls Royces. And yep. That's the image that everybody in the Northwest remembers, is all like 20 Rolls Royces being driven out of a barn.
Yep.
I mean, it was fantastic. I believe they did parody that on, was it either The Simpsons? I think it was The Simpsons at some point where, they go to live it somewhere and, you know, somewhere there's like a UFO in the barn and then there's a bunch of Rolls Royces and whatever. Anyway, it's one of those things everybody, and you remember that even being in L.A.
Well, I was doing a talk show back then in the 80s and that was fodder for every day.
Oh, it's the best story ever.
Yeah.
And the reason we're talking about this is because we found out that there is actually a town. It is the town of Otis, Oregon, and we've discovered this, by the way. Otis was named after the postmaster Archibald Thompson's nephew, Otis. So,
really?
Otis, Oregon is for sale, Jim Roop, and I'm going to buy it.
Oh.
I'm going to find $2.4 million somewhere. And this town
that's
will be...
all $2.4 million bucks? That's it?
They're practically... Look, at this price, you can't afford not to buy it.
Does it have a gas
station?
It does.
It has... Listen, here's what it has. I'm glad you asked, Jim Roop. Listen to this. Otis, the city of tomorrow, it has... it's located at the junction of Highway 18 and Old Highway 101. It has a gas station, a post office, a restaurant/cafe, a garage, and a horse ranch. They also have a KOA campground, currently there are two people who live there.
Man, it won't take long to make your money back if it has a campground.
That's what I'm saying. If I buy this, this isn't an Indian. No, I guess it's privately owned. All right. Well, yeah. I guess I can't open. See, what I want to do is just have it all the sin under one roof. I want to just have some smoke shop, you know, tobaccery that also functions as a whorehouse, you know, and where you can get heroin out of a vending machine. That's where all the money is right there. They just let me open that for like a week. I need never work again.
Amsterdam Northwest, sort of.
That's what I'm saying, my brother. All right. Well, okay.
And then you get like a Buford T. Justice to sit right outside the city.
Oh, no, seriously. There's going to be... Yeah,
city limits and nail everybody.
I'm going to walk around with a large wooden stick and I'm going to beat those who displease me. It's going to be the best thing ever. Really, I'm looking forward to... Screw this radio thing. I'm going to go work on a road crew somewhere where I can make real money and start putting that in the bank. 8% interest or something, man, I'll be set.
You're the smartest man I know.
That's what I'm saying. How's life in Los Angeles, Jim Roop?
Great. I just watched Daryl Hannaby cherry picked out of a walnut tree. How beautiful is that?
I'm sorry?
There's something much worse.
I don't understand what you just said.
I just watched as Daryl Hannah got cherry picked out of a walnut tree by the firefighters.
Here's the thing is... That doesn't make any sense. See, I hear what you're saying, but it does. I don't understand.
Well, I'm covering this. There's this urban farm here that they've been trying to save. It's 14 acres in the Alameda Corridor in the rankest, most gang-infested part of L.A. They're trying to save this 14 acres of urban farm here.
Oh, I see.
People have been growing fruit and vegetables on for the past 14 years. The developer wants to develop it. Daryl Hannah and a couple of other activists have launched themselves in this walnut tree. They've been there for the past 22 days, and the evictions happened today, and the firefighters had to go in there with a cherry picker and actually take Daryl Hannah forcibly out of that tree.
Did she scream?
No, she raised her fist and waved to people.
Oh, whatever.
You know, she'll get a movie role set.
I guess that's what you do when people stop giving you real jobs somewhere. So
activist.
No, I seriously. Well, it's like that. Who's that idiot woman, Juliana Butterfield or Butterfly?
Oh, Butterfly. Yeah, she was out here too.
Yeah, our interim producer Kristen Boat. You're a vegetarian, right?
Yes.
Are you now? Are you a vegetarian for health reasons, or are you a nutty animal, an animal person?
Well, I'm an animal person, but I'm not a nutty one.
Are you wearing anything made of leather?
Not currently.
Okay. All right. You don't sit in trees or something, do
no,
you? Or lay down in
no,
front of bulldozers
no, no, no,
or whatever?
No, 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 no.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so they, so the Julie Butterfly girl, she was out there sitting in something, too. And it, none of this ever worked, by the way.
They still kicked them out of there. They're going to bulldoze the joint down.
Yeah, all they do is they just...
Private property. Jeez.
Well,
they understand.
The only difference is now they're going to giggle hysterically as they bulldoze it down and give you the big middle finger while they're doing it. You know, that's all it is, man. As Daryl Hannah's being cuffed and loaded away, you know, loaded into the back of the squad car, they'll just bulldoze it really slowly so she gets to watch.
After they harvest all the walnuts.
It's a treat. Look, yes. It's, well, you know, the same thing happens here. And, I mean, I don't know when the last time you've been to the Northwest, but you got all of these people up here that they sit in trees or they chain themselves to. We are not short on foliage. There is no shortage of trees in Oregon. And so you got these guys that they'll like weld themselves into a treehouse up at the top of some redwood or something because there are no trees to spare in Oregon. Like the 30 billion trees we've got up here, just not enough. We need more. So, well, whatever.
Good luck to you on that.
Seriously, it's you and I are the two last smart men on this earth. It really is true.
Follow your lead, man.
Hey, let's. Well, you will see.
When I hang up from you, I call my broker.
No, it's,
you should join his army.
I'm gonna.
Otis.
That's what I'm saying. When I move to Otis, when Otis, Oregon becomes Emersonia, Oregon, you will be my enforcer and crusher of dissent.
I'd love that job.
Because, like, the second day we're there, I think we're going to have to start imprisoning dissidents. And you, Jim Roop, will be tasked with that. Tim Riley will be our Minister of Information, of course.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Nothing but the truth.
That's what I'm saying. He'll be our own Baghdad Bob.
Nothing but our version of the truth.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, speaking of guys and idiots and whatever, I didn't even know that this was still going through the legal system, but apparently just got booted out. This guy, this atheist in California who was... wasting everybody's time. Look, and again, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool agnostic. I'll believe in God when I meet him. So it's not like I got any sympathy for people who want to inject religion into every single aspect of public life. But there is such a thing as a common sense and not wasting everyone's time and money with this. This guy who's filing this lawsuit to get In God We Trust off the quarter or whatever?
Yeah, off of all currency.
Get a job, you know?
This is the same guy who went after the Pledge of Allegiance because it had the words under God.
Right, which, I mean, look, we all understand, theoretically speaking, in some grand sort of hermetically sealed universe where there is true separation of church and state, it probably shouldn't be on there. But it's like, even I haven't been to church in like 18 years, and even I don't care about it this much. Was this the same guy, though, where it all started as like some custody battle?
Yeah. He and his wife and his daughter... And he was suing the school district on behalf of his daughter.
Uh-huh. Sure, he
over
was.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, she was like five.
This guy's a nut.
Wasn't she like 5 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure she was all for the lawsuit. I'm sure she was. I'm sure she filed the court brief herself. Here's a little rule of thumb, and this is in Emersonia, everybody will learn these things. Here, whenever there's some lawsuit filed like this, a huge lawsuit about something that seems very dumb and insignificant, like In God We Trust on the dollar bill, or that guy a couple weeks ago filing the lawsuit because he didn't want there to be ladies' nights at a bar or whatever the hell it was. You know what it is? That's always a guy at home who has no sex life. That's what's at the root of all of that.
Well, I remember when all this went down first a couple of years ago, I asked him, I said, well, why don't you say it? You don't have to mean it. I mean, how many times did you say I love you and not mean it?
Yeah, no, who cares?
You
know?
You don't have to mean it. Just say it and shut up.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's just a waste of everyone's time.
We'll give somebody the finger on the freeway. That's more important.
We are the two perkiest people on earth, Jim.
That gets more response.
By the way, we've got this just handed to us from Tim Riley at the City Desk. This is from Oxnard, California.
Oh, yeah, the lady got run over. Oh, man.
It contains the following phrase. Drove over the berm, and apparently, over the woman's head.
Yep.
It does seem like the word apparently probably doesn't need to be in there. That seems like a rather binary proposition.
Journalists make the mistake of using that word a lot anyway. It irritates me.
Yeah, it seems like you either drove over someone's head or you didn't.
Right.
Is she dead?
Yeah.
That's no good. Killed by an SUV. She's laying on the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not next to Mandalay Bay, which is a nice area.
It seems like... Hold on, my cell phone is ringing. Thank you. All right, someone's calling. But let's find out who it is, shall we? Hi, this is Rick. Hi, Susanna. Can I call you back here in just a short while? Great, thank you so much.
Apparently she doesn't know you're on the air.
All right, bye now. Thank you. All right, there you go. Wasn't that exciting? All right, so she's laying on a beach and an SUV just comes.
Here's the kicker. She's in town from Iowa. to go to her son's wedding.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
To the beach, lays down underneath a sand burn that was formed by the waves. So the cops get in their SUVs and they patrol the beach. Oh. And what happened was the police were called to a distress call in the water. So uh-huh. They're barreling down the...
On
their way to this stress call. And they don't even know they hit her. They just keep going.
Oh. Well, yeah, because the sand... Well, no, now you would think... I'm not trying to be morbid,
that
but...
That it would just push your head in the
That's what I'm saying. You would think
that
the sand...
That was my question, too.
She might have been laying on a rock.
You're a smart man.
We would think the sand would be yielding enough that it would perhaps hurt, but that it would, like running over somebody in the moon, that it would just sort of gently push you into the sand.
But you know how your tires spin? I think it might have ripped her. That's just sort of the impression I got.
So it's sort of like when there's an ice storm and you put like a mat underneath your tires to get traction. Her face was the mat.
Yeah.
Well, that's unpleasant. That's a bad way to go.
I'm just guessing that's what happened.
Well, I'm guessing you're probably right.
The poor cop who ran over. He's a mess.
I can't imagine. Well, and especially coming from Iowa, laying on a beach. Like, if you'd asked her at the beginning of this day to rank it, like, the 500 ways you are most likely to end this day, that would be right near the bottom. I don't think you would anticipate. That's like walking around in Iowa and then, like, a huge coconut just falling out of the sky and killing you. I don't think you'd see it coming. Good Lord.
Yeah, you'd win the pool if you picked that one.
Yeah. And then that fire truck with $500,000, or that truck with $500,000 worth of fireworks hit somebody. It's just a bad, it's a weird day, Jim Roop.
It is.
All right. Well, in Emersonia, every day will be a glorious day of work and freedom.
And I'm looking forward to enforcing your law, sir.
Thank you. That's a man who knows how to treat the leader of Emersonia.
That's right.
All right, Jim. Thank you, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen, live from Los Angeles. This is the best show ever.
Yes.
Not even two. We got a whole other hour of this glorious entertainment coming your way. Let's go to the city desk.
I don't know how we're going to fit this all in.
Well... it's because we're Americans, Tim Riley. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. Me, Tim Riley, reporting. Anybody see that new 90-foot-tall monstrosity you can see from the Ross Island Bridge? It is a tower of steel. They put it up overnight. This structure is the main support tower for the OHSU tram.
I don't even know what you're talking. And I went over the bridge this morning.
I drove over that bridge today too.
No, you'll see it.
Wait, okay. If you're coming from the east side, is it on your? Must be on your left.
Yeah,
must be by that new condos they're building.
Uh huh.
Is this going to be another cue for all the nitwits to start complaining about the tram?
Well, this tower is going to be an estimated 190 feet tall by the time construction ends. Once the steel structure is complete, it'll be filled with concrete for strength.
Whatever. You know, the tram going up is like the trees coming down. Get over it. Move on. Worry about something you could... I don't understand, and this is, by the way, I'm not necessarily looking to turn this into a tedious discussion of local policy disputes.
Right, House Bill number 2235?
I'm not nearly fat enough, and I don't have a toupee. But I'm just saying... I don't understand. Who cares? It's a tram, which you think... Look, I don't pretend... I don't know much about much. But it does seem like Portland is... It is a town filled with hippies. And we can't say liberal anymore. Progressives. It is a town filled with progressive, which, by the way, is a code term for liberals who are too spineless and weak to just admit that they're liberals. So it is a town filled with liberals, by and large. It is liberals and redneck. It's sort of a my peanut butter, your chocolate kind of a thing. All I'm saying is the tram, to the best of my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong here, transports people without using fossil fuels.
Yes.
Without, it doesn't damage, it doesn't make us dependent
but
upon...
But it harms the view.
The view of what? Are you looking up in the goddamn air? It hurts the view of looking straight up in the friggin' sky.
In the West Hills are worried about not being able to see the view.
I give a rip what the people in the West Hills are concerned about. Seriously. I'm not trying to be deliberately obtuse about this, but I don't understand why people are so upset about the tram. Tim, do you know?
Well, people are emotional.
Whatever. Kristen, anything?
Like I said, the view.
No, but it's not even people there. It's
the
like people.
That's the best excuse I've heard.
It's people that are in John's Landing, though. And maybe I'm missing something, but the tram is... How many minutes out of the day do you spend looking straight up in the goddamn air? You don't. You're just looking straight up above you. No one looking.
Maybe that's a habit in
anyway.
John's Landing.
Maybe. not unlike especially dumb turkeys on a farm. So I don't understand why people are upset about it, because it, to my understanding, it eliminates the number of cars on the road, which I thought everybody here wanted. It doesn't have any, there's no reliance on petrol fuels or anything like that, or petroleum. So, I mean, I'm willing to have my mind changed. I just don't understand. It's just one of those things I don't know. I don't understand what the big catastrophe about it is. You know, just move on.
And people letting their dogs run loose again, too.
And what's with movies being so expensive?
All right. Movies are a waste of time.
I bought some Ritz crackers the other day, and they were nearly $3. Oh, look, see here. See, this is how, so it begins. Look at this. All right. Well, let's do, while Scotty's weeding through the rabble, why don't we do another story here?
Well, two Puyallup. I hate this town.
Puyallup.
Puyallup youngsters are due in court today in Tacoma on assault charges for fights that were recorded and posted on, yes,
MySpace.com. All right.
One video was taken through a night vision lens. After the fight, one teen is shown with a shotgun and says, "Hey, any of you want to come play with me? Let's play."
That's America's future right there. That's the common clay of the New West.
So deputies arrested a 17-year-old on suspicion of bringing weapons
suspicion
last Thursday to Emerald Ridge
kick.
High School. They included a rifle, baseball bat, and brass knuckles. Also, a 15-year-old goes to Stahl Junior High in Puyallup, is one of the participants in one of the fights.
Puyallup. I know, it's difficult.
I'm not going to talk about this stuff anymore. I don't care what people do with it. They can change the name of it if they want to get publicity.
It's dead to us.
Should we change it? Otis.
Well, as I said, no, we'll make Otis Emersonia, and Puyallup will become Otis. There you go.
From now on, I'm going to spend my time talking about Condoleezza Rice, because people care.
All right, there you go. Puyallup, and by the way, people in Puyallup are deeply dumb. I can say that because I'm from the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people in Chehalis aren't too bright either. Don't get me started on Ellensburg or Aberdeen. Here's Tim Riley.
A national survey by Esquire finds men are more likely to invite Condoleezza Rice to a dinner party than Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, and Jessica Simpson.
So who are the other choices?
They are Julia Roberts, Jennifer Aniston, and Jessica Simpson. Followed
by to a dinner party, or is this followed by a boisterous sex?
No, this is just a dinner party.
I would invite her of all of those people.
Mm-hmm. The 29-question survey was polled by nearly 1,100 randomly selected men, 25 and older. Asked which favorite men they'd invite to dinner, 37% picked Jay Leno, followed by Bill Clinton.
Okay, that's wrong. That's
George Clooney
made up.
And George W. Bush.
Or they just went to Puyallup for this.
But the president also placed first among the least admirable men in America.
Whatever. I would completely invite Condoleezza Rice. Julia Roberts is irritating and looks like a duck.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Aniston seems nice but not terribly bright. And Jessica Simpson's kind of weird looking. And plus, it would be difficult for her to eat with a bag over her face. Bada bing! There you go. What are we, should I take these calls about the tram?
That sounds good, yeah.
Well, I did ask for them. All right, thank you, Scotty. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, Jerry, how are you, sir?
Hello, how are you doing?
Jerry,
normally when I get on a show like this, I say something obscure that leaves people wondering, what am I talking about? But this time I think I'll break the tradition.
That's my job.
I think the biggest bone of contention for the tram is the tax base, as in who's going to pay for it. Most people don't want to.
Well, whatever. You know what? I don't want to be balding in 33, but you know what? That's the breaks. I mean, it cuts down on gridlock, it cuts down on traffic, it cuts down on pollution, which I don't really care about, but it cuts down on the amount of, money that we're giving to oil companies, both foreign and domestic. It doesn't take up any road space. I mean, I don't know, you know, but it's also not free, but you know what, none of that, but nothing that has all of those advantages is gonna be free.
This is true.
Okay, well there you go, Jerry, I'm glad we could come to a rapprochement on that.
You bet.
Thank you, sir. Okay, there you go.
Has to do something about the ne'er-do-wells hanging around Pioneer Courthouse Square on a daily basis.
And what's with these kids with the saggy pants? All right. What the hell are we doing? And airplane food. Rick, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. This is Rick. You know, the problem with that tram thing is very simply, not that the 10x10 tower is going to obscure the view. It's the three giant freaking buildings that obscure the view of the river. We should build more trams. We should build a tram to take the kids from Pioneer Courthouse Square out to Oregon City where they belong.
Excellent.
Get rid of the little bastard.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. So the first guy kind of got it right with the tram. The problem is it's not going to take too many cars off the road because it's only servicing OHSU.
Right. Okay.
And originally, OHSU was going to pay for most of it, and then the price just doubled, and OHSU wants the city of Portland to...
But even if OHSU pays for it, I cannot believe that the show has become this. Tim, if I'm still talking about this in 30 seconds, I want you to kick me in the junk. Even if OHSU still pays for it, we're paying for it then because that is a federal, OHSU is a federal institution. Isn't it? Isn't OHSU a government play? Isn't that the government? Isn't that the government-run institution?
No, but I think they get most of their money independently. I don't think it's fully funded by the state.
All right. People are just annoyed that they're having to pay for it.
Well, yeah, it only services OHSU. It goes from those two new buildings that they built right up to OHSU. And traffic's really bad going up that road, but for only people going to OHSU.
All right. So maybe they can, maybe they can make money on the weekend somehow by running it at five times normal speed and, you know, having a guy with a big mouse head sell tickets to it.
Or build another tram going to my house. Then I won't mind paying for it.
All right. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Jesse.
You know, there are too many left-hand turns on the streets downtown. And buses are allowed favorable access when motor cars are not.
Why do you drive in a parkway and park in a driveway? It doesn't make any sense.
And people are making these California stops.
Braille on drive-up ATMs.
Yeah.
Go to stop.
And what's with stuff and things?
And more stuff.
Let's end this segment now. The amount of time we've spent talking about this is so wildly out of proportion to how much I care about it. All right, well, there
I
you go.
I always like a glass of lemonade with two chocolate chip cookies before retiring for the evening.
Whatever happened to button shoes? All right, there you go. Well, apparently the tram's a huge waste.
People get their spats in an uproar.
Doesn't matter. It's already paid for. Nothing you can do about it. It's going to go up. Suck it up, Buttercup. Be a man. All right, it's 5037 something. The hell is it? 5037.
We should have called Coin upstairs with his segment.
Seriously. What are people saying about the tram? And then they'd fill in some sort of, you know, tramtastic or, you know, it's a God tram shame or something. Let's end this now. Let's get out of this now. We're running late. Oh, back after this. The Rick Emerson Show coming up. The owner of the Otis Cafe. Don't go anywhere.